Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is truly mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God has great plans for us, and He's alive to watch over our lives, to guide us. He's always there to guide us, to give us information we need. And the wonderful thing about it all is this. He knows us, and He knows how to relate His word to us. He knows how to help us. He knows how to get our attention and keep it. But when He does, it's always up to us to respond in faith. One reason people fail to grow is because they're not receptive. In order to be receptive, you have to be a person of faith. You have to learn to operate by your faith. Faith helps us in every way. Faith is based on our devotion for God in the first place. Because faith only works by love. Without love, our faith won't work, according to Scripture. So when we love God, and we hear His word, then we're receptive. Now, sin, on the other hand, causes us to be an enemy towards God. All sin works together to drive us from the living presence of life itself. All sin is designed to get us to betray God, to walk away, to desire to not hear Him out. This is important to know. Now, there are different types of reactions to the wisdom of God. There are some that just don't know, and they're not sure what to trust. Before man hears the word of God, there are many things he just don't know. And he may walk away from the wisdom of God because he lacks a lot of knowledge right now. And then there are those who don't want to know. They suspect that God is good, but in their mind they don't want to know Him so that they can have some kind of camouflage of excuse. I met a guy when I was in the mechanic class. He said, well, the more you know, the more stripes you'll be beat with. Now, that's a true fact. I said, why get beat with any stripe? Why not just learn God's word and do it? He didn't want to change. He loved the world. At that time, he loved the world. He loved this world. He didn't want to change. He didn't want to know God. And when people are that way, there's not much God can do. So what the Lord does, He loves us so much, and His grace is towards us, so is His mercy. His word, if we have a good and honest heart, while we're a sinner, He knows why we are the way we are. And if a person has a receptive heart, When somebody speaks the word, that word would get in their heart and grow and produce faith for them. And then eventually the Lord will enlighten their mind and He'll nurture that faith that's growing in them. And then that's why Paul said, some water, some plant, some water. But God gives the increase. All right. If there's any light in you, over time, God can give you an increase and your faith will develop. And if your heart is, when you decide, hey, God is right, I'm a sinner and I need His help, that's when God can do business. That's when God can work with you. That's why it takes so long for people to get saved sometimes. So never give up on your family. Minister the word and pay attention to the Lord, like we was talking about last broadcast. Hear Him out. He'll help you win people. And your consistent everyday love and the wisdom you live is encouraging. It helps people to make a sober decision, because there's life in God's word. We said last time, there's no life in other religions. There's no life in the thoughts of men aside from God. But there's life in God and his principles. So when we live that life, and when we're endeavoring to know God, we are an automatic encouragement to others to do the same thing. And as they grow in life, their seed will get stronger and stronger. The seed of God's word. Now, they're still a sinner, but their seed is growing. And then the Lord gives the increase. And at the right time, they will, at a time that they can see the word for what it is, they believe it. And then they act on it, and they become a Christian. At that point, their heart is made brand new. See, the word of God made people. Satan made nobody. He's just an interrupter. He didn't make anybody. We are designed to respond to the voice of God. Every soul on earth is. And if parents did their job and taught their children the word of God, they'll have something to come back to. And foolishness is bound in the heart of children. And people we're born sinners. Sinners sin. They do wickedness. But being saved is up to your will. And you have to have the right information to make a sober choice. And when they know principles about God, everybody's attracted to it. Some people reject it because their heart is hard and they don't want it. They love sin more than they love God, and they stay in the world. Some people even get saved and they still love the world and go back to it. With men do all kind of stuff. And there's a teaching out there say, once saved, always saved. No. If you're saved, it's because you want to be saved. If you stay in the kingdom, it's because you want to be in the kingdom. It's just like your marriage. If your spouse comes home, that's because they wanted to come home. And if they stop wanting to come home, they will stop coming home. Or they'll come home reluctantly. And some people, that they love the world and they go to church reluctantly. They do everything reluctantly. But those that love God do things because that's what they want to do. I go to church because I want to be there. I want to be a blessing to people. I want people to be a blessing to me. And I allow people, when God uses anybody, I listen. I'm not bothered by their age, their race, whether it's a man or a woman. If they were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I see them as just like me. They're my brother or my sister. And if they got something to say, especially by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to listen. If I detect error, I just won't listen. But if it's the voice of God, I'm going to listen. I'm not bothered by how old or young they are. I'm not bothered if they seem more intelligent than me. That doesn't make difference. I'm just glad for the body of Christ that person took time to get to know God. See, there's no such thing as a God-ordained Christian competition. In fact, we're trying to help everybody else do better than us. And the world don't do that. I wish I was the worst preacher God had, and I was doing all that's in his heart, being the best I could be. And I wish everybody else did 10 times better, or 100 times better, or even 1,000 times better. That means the body of Christ is that much stronger. I don't want to be the best. I want to be the living worst. I want to be alive under God, and I want everybody else to do better. And the Lord knows my heart. That's just the way it is. This is the way that you're going to have to live in the end times. These are the principles you're going to have to receive from the Word of God to operate and do faithful works in the end times. Daniel didn't, you know, the prophet Daniel said, a lot of storms are coming. A lot of storms are coming. Wars are coming. Rumors of wars. It's going to be so many wars. Rumors are going to spread that there's another one and another one. The end times will not be pretty. It's not, you don't want to be here after the rapture. And that, and it's going to be problems. According to the word of God, there are going to be all kind of problems that you really can't comprehend right now. It's not going to be pretty. But those, Daniel said that, but those that do love God, those that do know their God, you get, the only way you can know him is to love him. Those that do know their God would be mighty, and they'll do exploits. They're going to do the work of God in the most trying times in the history of this earth, in the history of mankind. And they're going to pull it off. They're going to get people saved, healed, set free, delivered. They're going to express the love of God and the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God until they understand. And they're going to walk in understanding towards God. They're going to do greater works than Jesus, according to Jesus. He said, he that believes will do greater works than I did. It's right there in your Bible, St. John chapter 14. God loves us. And he didn't put a cap on how much you can learn. He wants you to learn as much as you want to learn. Remember, God loves you for you. He made you in his image. He has no limits. We have no limits. We limit ourselves through tradition, through lies, deceit. All sins stem from three things: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Satan controls people's lives through those same three things: their lust of the flesh, their lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And their pride of life. See, if you in pride, if you live by pride, you're just like Satan. If you live by any form of pride, you're no different than Satan. That's what got him killed. That's what turned his heart. That's what made him betray God and curse him to his face. It's the same defiance. What's the difference? It's the same witchcraft. It's the same stubbornness. Any form of pride. Preachers that get jealous of preachers. That's Satan's logic. That is Satan's logic. But if you, as you continually go in the presence of God, you get to know him for who he is. And you learn his love towards you. Then you can believe his love towards others. And the more you love others, the more you understand that God, it gets more and more real that God loves you for you. This becomes real to you. And what happens to your faith? Your faith works better. See, a lot of people are struggling to operate in faith because they want to do it without love. Some people have strong faith and it won't work because they want love. They don't love others. They still hold grudges against their enemies, their kinfolks, their sister, their brother, their children, their parents, their grandparents, their in-laws. And you can't win that way. And Satan knows it. Now, God's word starts off small and becomes greater. Now, sin, but the difference between God's word is, it's not infectious. It's salt and it's light. It's salt because we're designed to respond to the works of God, the love of God, the ways of God. When people see it, they want it, even if they're sinners. And it can preserve your everyday kindness and acts of love can cause people to surrender their hatred. Even a crazy man like Hitler, if somebody loved him right, it's a high chance he may not have turned evil. Somebody said he once wanted to be a priest. But when you love wickedness, Satan can use you. I said God's love starts, God's ways always start out small and it grows, but it's not infectious. It doesn't make you do anything. It gives you the wisdom, the wit, the light to see what's true from what's false. You can see what is true and you can see and understand what is false. And you can make a decision of your own free will to either accept it and join it or reject it. Now, sin, on the other hand, is different. Sin is infectious, and it starts off small. It starts with a small thought. Seems harmless, seems good, seems attractive, but it's a darkness. It's an anti-life. And if you accept it and don't fight it and don't resist it, it will grow in your hearts just like God's word will. The problem is, the more it grows, the weaker you get. And the Lord gave us examples in life. He gave us examples out in nature. How many of you have seen a fly get trapped in a spider's web? And that black spider will come and wrap that bug up till you can't see nothing but web. He looks like a cocoon. He has no chance of escaping. The only way he can ever live again is somebody kill that spider and cut him out of those webs. And that's not going to happen. And the spider will set him aside till he feels like eating him. And you say, man, that spider that's a terrible creature. Well, that's what sin does. It gets in your will. And you need somebody with an anointing to break the yoke for you. There are some sinners, there are some prostitutes, they wish they could just not have that kind of mindset anymore. But they're just like that fly tangled up in that web. They can't stop. There are some drug dealers that want to quit selling drugs. And they know that they're doing wrong. They know they're a weapon, but they have no will to stop. They wish they could stop. Some of them wish they could just get killed because they don't want to do that anymore. But they can't stop because when sin gets in your will, how are you going to walk away from it? You got to get God's word inside your heart in order to make a change like that. And you need somebody with an anointing to break the yoke. Somebody to minister God's word so that you can be set free. When you hear the voice of an anointed person and you wish you could come to the point where you hate your sin, listen close. Receive the word. That word to get in you, and the word is always more powerful than the darkness of this world. And you will receive that word, and you will stop being Satan's slave. A lot of people are in gangs. They wish they could just turn back the hands of time and not join it and go off and do something better. But sin is like an addiction. And everybody that get too hung up on it, they're just like that fly tangled up in that web. They'll never get loose unless they receive God's word in their heart. And sin always hardens your heart. I'm telling you things to watch out. See, sometimes people don't know how to get out of things because they don't understand. They're going by how things seem. They've been going by how things seem so long. They've been tricked on every time they make a turn in their life. Every opportunity in their life, they made wrong choices. And it's like a buildup of concrete against them. They're trapped like a mouse in a maze. They don't know which way to go. But the anointing can break all that yoke. It can break that spider's web. It can break that concrete. It can flatten that maze so you can see how to make a sober choice. But when you believe on Jesus Christ and you acknowledge to God, I am a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I believe on Jesus Christ. I believe his blood washed away my sin. All the traps that the enemy has put against you will be destroyed. Because there's enough anointing in that statement. If you receive it in your heart, you'll break every trap he set. Religious traps. Well, my family was this way for so long. We've been in this religion so long. My family will ostracize me. They'll kick me out of the family. And some people may kill me if I be a Christian. If you do it anyway, if you become a Christian anyway, even though your life can be in danger, hear me good. Even if you know people that you know will kill you, if you become a Christian anyway, you are God's property. And God he's well able to protect his property. And just like the Hebrew boys of Daniel said, in Daniel's day, they said, even if you kill me, We won't bow down to your statue. We won't bow down to your idol. And they put him in the fire furnace, and Jesus got in there with them. King said, hey, I see four men in the fire. One of them looked like the Son of God. Let them out. God can rescue his people. You become God's property, not Satan's. And guess what? God gave you authority and power over Satan to stop him at your will. Now, when you take time and you hear his word and hear him out, and you receive his word, that word becomes in you. It's like power growing inside you. And when you believe on Jesus and take him at his word and live by the love of God, your faith will work. And when all the things line up that should line up, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and you will believe on Jesus. See, God wants people that love him from the inside out, from their heart. Sincerity is what God is after. And the word of God helps you become sincere. And if your faith is going to survive and work, your heart has to be sincere. When your heart stops being sincere, your faith stops working. And don't think just because things go right when you say some words that that was faith. The enemy is deceptive, and he know how to trick you. So if you deceive, if you know your heart ain't right, and you dibbling and dabbling with the world, your life ain't safe no more. And if you keep on, you won't even be God's property anymore. The word of God said, if you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. New Testament, if you be willing and obedient, you will live forever and eat the good of the land. And most of the time, you'll own the land. God didn't just give us salvation. He gave us the kingdom. And the kingdom, sincerity has to be at the base of your kingdom. Sincerity has to be the base of your life. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Your heart towards God. You want to love like him. You love people like he loves you. You put yourself last to put others first. Satan puts nobody first. He's trying to put everybody last. He's trying to put God last. And he don't deserve this kingdom. He didn't build it. If you want a good illustration of Lucifer, is Solomon. David, he contended to build his kingdom. God anointed him to be king. He contended for the kingdom. And he received it. He fought wars. He destroyed his enemy. He obeyed God. He worked towards his kingdom. And then he gave it to Solomon. God built heaven. And then Lucifer tried to take it. That's way out of order. And he said it in his heart. He said it with determination. He still is trying to do the same thing. So don't let him be your master. Don't let the devil be your master. Everybody of every false religion, and all religions are false except Christianity. People believing on Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's only one that God ordained. Everything that God didn't ordain is not of God, and it is, in fact, of Satan. Even among Christians who twist God's word, who compromise with the world, who teach people wrong things, they're not in the kingdom either. They're sinners. They are tares among the wheat. And tares breed confusion. And there are some people who were taught by tares. And half of that message, they're grieving the Holy Spirit. Only thing, and the wisdom of God's word is life. You can feel it. When more light comes around, then you'll be exposed for the lies you believe. It's easy to receive lies and not know that they're lies. I've been a Christian since 1987. And I don't know how many times the Lord helped me receive correction. And I remember, I'll give you this for instance. I went to a church, they said women shouldn't wear pants and women can't preach. God don't call women to preach. That's what they taught. That was part of their doctrine. And I wanted to do right and I wanted to believe right. And I thought the people knew what they were talking about. But in all honesty, when the pastor's wife talked about the dress code of women, it didn't set right with the Holy Spirit. In my heart, I said, well, they make pants for men and women. But she taught it, and I trusted her and other people. But it didn't sit right inside. The Holy Spirit was grieved. And I didn't know how to follow God in those days. So I just kind of, I said, well, I guess they know what they're talking about. I went along with it. But I didn't preach it. When I became a preacher, I was still, you know, I kind of went along with it. But I noticed God never had me to deal with a woman the way a woman dressed. Except he said, dress modest. So when I preached, that's all I preached. I didn't tell them whether to wear pants or not, even though I wasn't sure. When things don't sit right, I just kind of leave it alone until I learn more about it. Same thing with women preachers. Now, the Lord eventually taught the pastor that they were just wrong about that. And before that happened, I kept running into women that said they used to go to Refuge Temple, but they had to leave because the Lord called them to the ministry. And I kind of turned my head sideways, but I didn't say nothing. I said, I could be wrong about that. I know what it's like to be wrong about something. So, and back in those days, that was the 80s, people were more traditional then than they are now. And they were more stern about stuff like that. But if it don't sit right with God, it can't be right. Then the Lord corrected the pastor. And he said, you know, hey, I was wrong about, we were all wrong about whether women can preach or not. And the same scriptures we use to prove that they can't preach are the ones that prove that they can. He repented. And five women that were called of God to preach came up and they became wonderful women of God. And I was blessed by all of them. See, if you don't, it's possible to be wrong. Just don't be stubborn. Nowadays, people know that women can preach, and they listen to them, and they are blessed. The lady that comes on after me is a blessing. I listen to. I thank God for all women that preach, and sometimes it be in sync with what the Lord gave that day when she ministers the Saturday broadcast. I thank God for everybody, and I want them to do their very best. Do your very best. Shame the enemy. Expose him for the liar that he is. Yeah, I want everybody to be better and hear God faster. And I want to do all that's in God's heart myself. I want to be like a Marine. I want to be the best I can be. And by the wisdom and logic of God, I can. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me and blesses me, helps me to go forward. I thank the Lord for his word. The Lord is coming back. These are the last days, the end of days. We're living in end times. This is the calm before the storm, folks. Now is the time to dig in deep, learn who God is, be correctable. Don't be stubborn. Don't worry about where you're wrong. The word of God will help you get all that straight. But the sins that you know of, turn your back now from those sins, because they will harden your heart against God. And let the anointing in. Let the anointing break your yokes. Repent quick. Repent quick. Do it now. Turn your heart to God now. Because when that trumpet go off, that's going to be that. You don't want to be here when the trumpet